That was fairly cute. But it was also a very, very important story. And we're just going to spend a couple of minutes thinking about that now. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for this wonderful reminder we've heard from your word and from the interpretation these kids have shown us today, that we've got a wonderful Christmas story to share. Please bless us now as we consider it just for a moment more, and help us to reflect on all that you're saying to us. In Christ's name, amen. This is the Christ child born to be king. That's how that line went, and I guess we kind of know that's where the story was heading the whole time, wasn't it? This is the Christ child born to be king, because in the end, Christmas is about the birth of a child, and the birth of a child is always a big deal, the arrival of a new little person into the world. But there can be different reactions to a new little baby coming into the world, can't there? On the one hand, there's obviously joy. The birth of a child is full of joy and delight and wonder. Holding a new baby in your arms is an amazing experience. It's full of joy. I remember when we first met our little man, Jaden, who was one of the angels there this morning. He's our foster son, so he wasn't sort of newborn when we met him, but he's still very little. And still the delight and magic of meeting him for the first time was incredible. But of course, realistically, there is another reaction that sometimes happens, because babies can also bring trouble. There's sleepless nights, there's hours of crying for no apparent reason. No apparent reason. Anyway, moving on. There's this loss of freedom that sometimes feels like it happens when babies come along. I remember when Sarah was pregnant with our first child, a lady who'd had a baby not that long ago said, "Go to the movies. Go to the movies now, because you won't get to for a long time." Yeah. But there's that kind of sense. More seriously, though, I think we were when we were thinking about taking on another little one before Jaden came along, we were talking to our girls about it, and Lucy, who was our youngest at the time, she was not keen at all for a while. Eventually we found out why, because she said that she was worried there wouldn't be enough cuddles to go around. She was worried there wouldn't be enough cuddles. So after we reassured her about that, she was fine with it. But you see, the arrival of a baby can bring trouble too, and can bring a threat, which it was for her at that point. Wouldn't it be a shame, though, if our main reaction to a baby coming was, "That's trouble"? It'd be such a shame. And like I said, Christmas is about the arrival of a child, the Christmas child, and that wonderful story from Matthew's Gospel that we heard read just a few minutes ago by Terry, it shows us two responses to the Christmas child, seeing him as joy or seeing him as trouble. And the question for us is, how do we see the Christmas child? Is he joy or is he trouble? So have a little look, Matthew chapter 2, feel free to come along with me if you want, page 966, will just be a few minutes. When Matthew starts the story, we zoom in on this posse of people riding into Jerusalem. They're called Magi by Matthew in chapter 1. We often call them wise men, as we did in the play. I'm not sure that they were as cute as that, nor am I sure that they were as strapping as the wise men we had here today. But whatever they looked like, they came from the east, and they came to Jerusalem, and they asked a question that caused a stir. It's in verse 2 there. Put it up on the screen of the reading. "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews?" they said. "We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Imagine hearing that out of the blue. These men, they'd seen a star, a sign in the heavens. Magi were usually schooled up in a mix of astronomy and astrology, and they were generally had quite a lot of knowledge. And there was a number of astronomical events, kind of events in the sky, in the night sky. There was some planets aligning, there was comets, and there was various things. So it seems like these guys had seen some sort of sign in the sky, and they'd connected it and realized that it connected with a prophecy, a promise from years before, that there would be a great king in Judah who would be kind of heralded by a star. So they came to recognize this king. And it particularly caused a stir to the man who was already in the palace, King Herod. Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod had been in charge. He'd been the boss in the area of Jerusalem for quite a long time by this stage. He was helped to be the boss by the Romans, who were the big dogs at that time. He did what the Romans wanted, and he was mates with the emperor. So he kept a hold of his kingship. He liked being the king, but he wasn't actually from the royal family, so he wasn't really supposed to be king in one way. But he'd become very good at keeping his job of king, and he'd particularly become good at it by getting rid of anyone who challenged him as king, getting rid of them with the sword. In fact, he'd done that to three of his own sons by this time. And it says in verse 3 that when Herod heard about these magi from the east coming to worship a new king, he was disturbed. That word disturbed literally means kind of stirred up, probably a bit like an upset tummy that you have when you receive disturbing news. So to Herod, this birth, this new baby, was trouble. Herod called in the experts, verse 4 to 6. He said, where's this king of the Jews supposed to be born? Because long ago God had promised that a king would be born. He promised he'd send a king. And it turns out this king was going to be born in Bethlehem, which is not far away from Jerusalem. So verses 7 to 8, he sends the magi on their way, and he tells them to come back and let him know when they find this king. He says he wants to worship the king as well, which sounds a little bit fishy, because he called the magi in secret and he was so disturbed we might doubt that he actually wanted to worship the king. And as it turned out, he didn't want to worship this king. He wanted to wipe him out. This king was trouble to him, and he wanted to get rid of the trouble. That was Herod, trouble. But as we turn back to the Magi, their reaction's very different. It's wonderfully different. After they hear the king, verse 9, they go on their way, and amazingly, they see this star again, and it leads them to the place where the Christmas child is, somehow leads them there. And notice verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. In fact, the original language that was written in Greek is even stronger. It's when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Their reaction to the Christmas child, their reaction, is joy. Exceedingly great joy. Now, they were foreigners who really weren't the people that the king had been promised to. In fact, it wouldn't have been surprising if these guys had have been really worried about this king, because this could have been an enemy king to them. But they saw something that Herod missed. Yes, this king was going to come and be in charge. Yes, he had this new king, this new baby king, had a genuine claim to be in charge. He was God's king after all, so he was going to be in charge of everybody. And they could have seen that as a threat to them being in charge of themselves, to being their own bosses, to be in charge of their own lives. But they saw that this king was actually coming as the Prince of Peace, that he was going to be a good king, that he was one who would bless and care for his people, a king that you could trust with your life. They could see, it seems, that they weren't, and we all weren't, doing such a good job of being in charge of our own lives after all, and actually we needed a great king from God to come and save and rescue us. And so these magi, these wise men, they were overjoyed and they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy at the news of this new baby. And they bowed down and they worshipped him, and they opened up their treasures and they gave him gifts fit for a king. To them, the king was a cause for great joy. So as we remember the Christmas child, as we do now, his presence has a way of asking us the same question. See, that Christmas child did come, and he did rescue us, and he grew up, and he, as a king, died for his people, so that everyone who comes to him is made right with God, safe forever. And that great King Jesus promised he'll come again. And so the Christmas child still asks a question every year about this time. I think he puts this question out again just because we remember him. What is he to you? Is he trouble? Or is he joy? Is he simply a threat because you don't want him to be in charge? You want to be the boss of your own life? You want to do things your own way, like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way? Or can you see past that to to the fact that this king is the one you can trust with your very life. That receiving him with worship and love is actually great joy, exceedingly great joy. I hope you can see that. Please greet him with joy this Christmas. And into the new year, keep asking him, like those Magi did, those wise people, because keep asking and seeking him, because that's what wise people do. And we'd love to have you for our Christmas services. We'll be talking about them more in a moment. There's details on a flyer that we'll tell you about. But we'd love to have you with us. Just do seek this king, because all who truly seek him will find him. And he's ready to greet you with joy and open arms. We're going to come to a time of prayer now. So please join me as we just bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the arrival of the Christ child, that this new baby king did come and that he grew up to save us, and now we can trust him. We can trust him with our very lives. We pray for babies and children all over the world. We think of those who go without, who don't have enough, who are born into poverty and difficulty. We think of those who are in difficult situations in this country, as well as the many, many around the world. We think of Christian children, children of Christian families, in places where it's very hard to be Christian and where they're treated very badly for that. We remember particularly those who, through that, may have lost their parents, may have lost home and security. We ask your care and love for them, that they would know you as the Heavenly Father through the wonderful Christ child. We give you thanks for the children here. We pray for their growth in Christ, especially, and their growth in every way. We pray for those amongst us who would love to have children but can't. We pray for our church family to be truly a church family. And we thank you for the joy of the reminder of our church family this morning, and what we've seen from the children. We give you thanks that in Christ each of us can truly be your child. We ask that across Christmas, many more in this area, as well as further afield, would come to know the joy and have the exceedingly great joy of belonging to you. We pray these things in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.